Hey, this is singer-songwriter Danny Horovitz, and you're listening to Citywide Blackout.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Citywide Bites. This is our live Saturday morning show. Very glad you're all here. I'm really glad to be here too, because in just a little bit, I'll be talking to Mark Femino. He is a musician with 30 years of experience, guys. 30 years of doing this stuff. We're talking to him in just 1 second. He has been playing with a band, Blind Man's Son. He's doing solo work these days. And actually, just a little bit, he'll be playing at Earthfest. So he's right here. So here we go. All right. There we go. Mark, welcome to the show, man. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be here, actually. I don't get to do this type of stuff too often.
Well, you know, first time, man. I like this. And, I see you. I got your guitar. Of course, folks, we'll be doing some live music. So definitely sit back, relax, grab your coffee, grab your whatever. You know, I won't judge. And enjoy the show. But before we get into that, of course, you'll be playing in just a few hours now at Earthfest. And this is happening in Wrentham. So, folks, if you're in that area, swing on down, check this show out. But can you tell us a little more about the show and what people kind of expect if they're going to go?
Well, it's at the White Barn Farm in Wrentham. I think it's near the outlets. It's my first time there. It's kind of a family-friendly event. They should have a beer garden and lots of activities. And I'll be playing, you know, kind of a mix of covers and originals. And 1:15 to 4 p.m.
Nice. I think I've actually been there before. I think that's actually near where I used to live on the East Coast. So I know that place well.
Cool.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right. And you also have a new single out called Damn Girl. This was released at the beginning of the month. And I see a smile, man, because reading about this song and listening to it, I thought this is the most darkly hilarious breakup song I've ever heard. What went into making this, man? What's the story behind it?
Well, it was like sort of a... The lady I was with was a little bit of kind of a Debbie Downer. So she would snap at me a bit. And so I took kind of a comical approach at a kind of a darker subject, if you will. I have a song called Cruel Unkind. I don't know if you heard that one, but that's sort of a Dr. Seussian and Grinch-esque kind of thing. And it was... I guess a little bit like that, if you will, you know, so, but it's kind of fun and funky and sort of fun to write, you know, but maybe a little mean spirited, but, you know, it's the way we sort of process things, right? You know,
pretty much. It seems that when there's a breakup and you play music, you got to make a song about it.
That's what Taylor Swift does.
Yeah. And it works well for her. She's doing okay. She's doing all right. You know, I think she'll be all right.
A little better than
she's kind of a big deal, I guess. I don't know. I know, you know, I think she'll be, I think she'll do okay.
Yeah, well, you know, Max, I'm a teacher, right? So all my students love Taylor Swift, right? So I tried to listen to the album. I think I got about 35 seconds into it, and I couldn't tell you, so
I did listen to the new album, Dead Poets. I forget the entire name. I'm bad at this. Yeah. Sorry, Taylor Swift. Sorry, fans. but, you know, I'm listening to music. I'm like, okay, I like this, actually. I can kind of see the appeal. I see why people like her. But, man, her fans are just like, they're devoted. They are passionately devoted to her. So,
they're there.
So like I said, you know, I think she'll do okay. But let's talk more about you. I think we can talk, you know, like too Swift the whole show if we want to. So you got the new single out, Damn Girl. Is this part of a future album, or like will there be more singles down the road?
You know, Max, that's a great question. You're in the business, right? So you know how it works. You know, last year I put out a whole bunch of... Well, I put out two albums really last year, and it's because, Max, this is a bigger subject, and I don't know if I can elaborate on this, but
go for it.
You know, I mean, I'm not a young man exactly, right? I just turned 50 this year, right? So, but I've been a songwriter my whole life. I have like 150 songs or something. So, you know, you start going, well, there's a window to this whole thing, right? And so it's, you know, for whatever reason, I said for me, for me, I just want to get, I want my body of work to be in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was really the inspiration to start getting everything out. So I took two older albums that were done and needed to be mixed and mastered, but never had the money to do it. So I did that. And, you know, I was encouraged by a lot of people, friends in the industry, et cetera, to not release albums, because in this day and age, it doesn't really suit you to do that because you don't have stuff to talk about, post on social media, et cetera. So, so yes, I have several in the can, and I will definitely record another dozen or so this summer and kind of disseminate them as I see fit, kind of thing. So.
Cool, man. Cool. Now, you mentioned earlier that you're a teacher. Are you a music teacher?
I am a music teacher.
All right. I'm curious how you teach. Like, what's your style? Especially if you're working with folks who are just like fresh out the gate, brand new to music.
Man, I'm a passion guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, first of all, you know, I'm a chorus teacher and I teach guitar and ukulele and a lot of electronic recording, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I definitely err on the side of like wanting my students to be passionate about what they sing, you know, which, you know, I'm not going to throw like just madrigals at them all day kind of thing, but I will try to incorporate all that stuff as well. But you know, that, so I definitely want kids to follow their passion, because that's what, how I was, you know, when I was a kid, you know, playing music. I went to an all boys prep school, right? I'm sure you can tell by my awesome haircut.
Exactly. Right.
I went to an all boys prep school, and so music was a release for me. It was my time in the day that wasn't homework. And so, you know, I always think about that. I had a school that didn't have a music program when I grew up, you know? So it's kind of ironic that I became a music teacher. Most people's pathways to becoming a music teacher is because they had a band director or a chorus teacher that really spoke to them. And that wasn't my avenue at all. And was more like, you know, I love music. I'm good with kids, sort of silly, you know? So there it was, you know?
All right. Do your students ever ask to hear about like tour stories or time like on the road?
They do. I don't know if you read my bio at all. I was in a band in my 20s, actually. This picture behind my...
Yeah, yeah.
But that was my band in the 90s called Blind Man's Son. Mm-hmm. And that was like a jam band in the 90s. And we have some pretty epic stories. It was a, you know, pretty successful band. We always say 10,000 albums we sold. I don't know if that's true, but it's, you know, somewhere in the ballpark like that. And real spectacle to see that band, six pieces, like marimba, amazing piano player, guitar, drums, percussion, bass, the whole thing, you know? And so, and there were some really, really cool stories, you know? I mean, we had real fans that would sing along with the tunes and all that kind of stuff. We played with some pretty good sized bands, that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, they definitely want to hear it. They like, my students like to get me on tangents, you know, which I'm pretty good at. I can just like derail a class right off the bat, you know? And we'll just talk and talk. Sometimes they actually want to hear about music industry or Spotify numbers or that kind of stuff. And I sometimes feel like that's relevant, you know?
Sure. Yeah. It's,
you know, piece of it, just like the recording piece. Like I love to have kids that aren't necessarily, you know, playing a specific instrument or reading notes, that might have, you know, a pathway to music through electronic music, something along those lines, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, you got your guitar, and I think now's the time. Why don't you do a song?
Okay.
All right.
Can you hear this?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
All right. This is a song called Distance that I like to play live sometimes. It goes a little like this. Troubles are a mountain, slippery to climb. When it feels insurmountable, take your sweet ass time. Keep going the distance. Every day we just keep going the distance, distance, the distance, going the distance. Baby, you and me, we keep going the distance, distance. distance, the distance. Got no choice but keep on coming. Getting away, yeah. One false move and you could end it all. No one really cares. Keep going the distance. Every day we just keep going the distance. Distance, the distance. Going the distance. Baby, you and me, we keep going the distance. Distance, the distance. It's like three-part harmony here. And it keeps going on and on.
So. Nice, man. Very cool. Very cool. Yep. All right. We talked earlier about the Earthfest show, and I'm kind of curious, when you do play live, are there certain songs that people just kind of want to hear from you? Do you have any, like, fan favorites?
You mean covers or originals?
Both.
Usually live, Going to California is a real popular one.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, Rich Girl might be popular. I like taking some songs that are, like, piano-based, and because you might see I'm sort of a finger-style guitar player.
Yep.
Get in the video, but let's see, you know, I'm always doing this sort of stuff. You know what I mean? So, like, I like taking piano songs, like, you know, The Way It Is?
Yeah.
I like taking piano songs and turning guitar pieces, that sort of thing. For my own songs, Distance is a popular one. I have one called Once Again that some people like. I have one called Tiny Little Man that's kind of popular with people. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. All right. Now, a little while ago, you put out the album These Are the Moments, and this is a more like acoustic album. I'm curious as to some of the stories you're kind of sharing in the music.
Okay. Do you have a specific one you're asking me about?
No, I would just say, like, if you got any particular meaningful songs, you know.
My favorite one is it's called Something's Been Missing.
Yes,
and, it was one of my dear friends from college. Got married in Zaragoza, Spain.
Ooh.
And he was marrying a woman from there, and he's Irish actually, but sounds British. And I said to him, would you be cool if I wrote a song for your wedding? And he was cool with that. And so there's some Spanish, the chorus in that song is Spanish. And so, and it's the whole situation of the whole wedding in Spain. It was actually a funny story, man, because, like, on the way back home, I was flying from, I was going to Barcelona or something, but, you know, and there were South American Spanish speakers, and I don't really speak Spanish, but and so there were the Castilian Spanish speakers and there were the South American Spanish, and I leaned over to a woman and I said, hey, can you help me? I'm trying to say this. And she started helping me. But then by the end of the flight, which wasn't very long, we had, like, no, no joke, like a dozen people trying to help me and arguing over what the correct pronunciation of it was, you know.
Wow.
So that was fun. These Are the Moments itself was another, same group of friends, was another wedding, actually. And they're not all about weddings, but, like, another dear friend. But that one's a little different twist on it, because was early in my teaching career. And Max, I teach 1 through 12. I have a really strange job. And many people do that anymore. So in the morning, I'm like dancing around with kids and then going to teach high school chorus or something like that. But it was more about, like, a lot of teachers would say at the beginning of their career, it's like you almost have no life, right? So, so it was more about trying to, you know, these are the moments you just can't let get away. You know, squeeze every ounce of life and hope for a better day, because I was so stressed. I don't think I slept for 4 years. You know what I mean? I had a baby at home.
Oh, geez.
So there's that too. And All the Poor Intentions, that was about, you know, a couple of tough relationships, my brother and myself, and some, you know, a little darker twist mm-hmm. on that one. But I love that. I've never played that song live, actually, because you really need three-part harmony to make that song work.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And it's really difficult to do. I'd love to someday, you know, have some really nice harmonies, you know. Mm-hmm. System is a Wheel, that's a weird song. You know, I was on a Ferris wheel and I was thinking what a dumb ride this is.
Just going around a circle. That's it.
Kind of like, you know, you get on it just to like wait at the top so other people get on and get off. You know, I just thought it was sort of silly. And actually there's a song on there called Energize, Expressing Your Joy. And that song is about a guy named Charlie who lived to be about 102, and he was a pretty inspiring fella. And I just ended up writing a song like, life is full of cans. I can do this. That. So, I like things like that. But honestly, Max, like a lot of my lyrics, music comes natural to me, meaning like, but if there are musicians watching out there, music is something that just sort of comes out, right? But lyrics I have to consciously add. This is going to sound a little dopey and a little sort of ethereal and out there, but sometimes I love when the melodies dictate the words. Mm-hmm. And then it almost maybe tells you about a deep, visceral sort of emotion that like maybe you didn't even know you were feeling. And sometimes when that happens in a song, that's pretty magical, you know? Yeah.
I agree. All right. Who did the cover art? Because that is some stellar cover art.
For which one?
For These Are the Moments.
Oh, my God. You're testing me. It was a student at school. Crystal Flint, I believe, is her name. If I got it right. Crystal, I'm sorry if I messed that up. But I think that. But she was great. She did a whole mural at school. And I love to get students involved in the art. In fact, Fermez la bouche. I don't know if you get the reference. Fermez la bouche. That was a former student and a colleague's daughter, and she's an art teacher now. And my friend Jim Poulos did the artwork to the Flea Jump and Juke Joint, which is the ukulele album. And actually, Max, I have it right here, but we have a children's story coming out.
Oh, cool.
This is the prototype. And if Jim's watching, he might not be happy that I'm kind of showing the prototype of it.
But yes.
It was a song written with second graders and it was adorable. And it's just an adorable story. And so, but Jim does some artwork for me too. And so when I can, Pat Sisk, sorry, Pat, you're watching, man. Pat did the Fearless album, and that album's more of a dark rock album. In a time in my life that was a little tricky. And I needed something. Pat's artwork is really interesting and a little dark. So like I said, I get artists involved, you know?
I get you, man. I get you. All right, folks. Well, we are coming down to the end of the conversation, but, Mark, could we do, one more song, you know, before we go?
Yeah. Ready. Actually, can I just tell you real quick? I see the time, Max, and I don't have a lot of time, but this happened. Do you know what boomwhackers are, Max?
No, I don't. No.
Boomwhackers are those things you get. They're like little pipes that you get to like little.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
And so. I asked the second graders to line up one year, and they were supposed to line up do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Yeah.
And instead they lined up do, do, mi, fa, sol, re, ti, la. And I said, that's so wrong, but that's so awesome.
Yeah.
And I grabbed my guitar.
That works. That works.
We're going to make a song out of this. And so we did, and they storyboarded the entire song. You know what I mean? So, and then it went, Freddie was fine hanging round
all the time. Swung on his vine, so relaxing and divine. There he stayed, wasting entire days away. Crooked smile. All the while. Freddy fell down on the ground, looked around, fell in some bush, heard his tush, there in a bush, dropping away, as if to say, come and play. Freddy wanted to be.
You want me to play the whole songs, man?
That was so cool, man. I love how that just kind of started from your kids just, you know, doing their thing, and then boom, song.
It was a real, you know, I love when magic moments happen to me. That's probably why I'm still doing it at 50 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, man, like 30 years, you know, you got to love it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, before we go, I do have to ask, how'd you get started? I mean, you've been doing this for like 30 years, performing, making music, teaching. How'd you get started this in the first place?
You know, kids ask me that all the time, and it really was like a music class. So maybe that is why I became a teacher. It was a teacher that, you know, asked for a specific rhythm. Maybe it was like, you know, kind of one of these things going on and nobody could do it, and I could do it. And I said, oh, maybe I got something going. And I picked up the trumpet, and then I had like your kind of piano lessons. And then, you know, I don't know how old you are, Max, but like, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. So say what you will about the hair bands and all that kind of stuff, but they had fantastic guitar players, a lot of them, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that was a big influence. And so once I got my first guitar, you know, I had a pretty good ear, and I pretty much started writing almost immediately when I picked up my first guitar, you know, and that's basically it. And then, you know, of course the dream of playing in bands and touring took hold, and then the rest is history, man.
I love it. I love it. All right, folks. Well, we are bringing this show to a close. Mark Femineau, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. And folks, markfemineau.com, F-E-M-I-N-O. Everything's there. Follow him on Spotify. Listen to Damn Girl. Check out These Are the Moments. There's a shirt you can buy for the album cover. Get that shirt, guys. It's a pretty awesome shirt. It's pretty amazing stuff. If you happen to be in the Rentham area, check out Earthfest. Check out Earthfest. I'm sure it's going to be an absolute blast. And Mark, thanks again, man. We'll be talking again real soon, I'm sure.
Thank you for having me, Max.
All right. And guys, I'll see you next time.
You know, girl, I've been thinking. There's been some tension between us lately, and it don't feel too good. There are some things I've been meaning to say to you. Now, I know there's two sides to the story, and I definitely ain't perfect. But this is my side. So here we go.
A being with you feels about the same as being alone. Lights are on, but there's never anybody home. A conversation's just like getting blood from a stone. Damn, girl, you're bringing me down. Drummer's drumming up a conundrum, coming up once more. Flirt with assertion, but uncertainty's right at the core. So much space is placed, so trying to reassure you. Damn, girl, you're bringing me down.
Just quit bringing me down. Please quit bringing me down. Just quit bringing me down. Please quit bringing me down. Just quit bringing me down. Please quit bringing me down. Just quit bringing me down. Please quit bringing me down.
Does it always have to be so cold? The theme relaxed facts and the practicing is getting old. Too bad, cause at first I felt you deep in my soul. But damn, girl, you're bringing me down. Miscommunication is not communication at all. Throw me a bone so I can chug it right over your wall. But even to get inside means I'm screaming out.